to the Grace Hour Show. We're a Christian podcast program, and we really take a look at the daily challenges that will help us learn to practice our faith before others as witnesses for Jesus Christ, believers in the Bible and the finished work of Christ. That's us, Greater Grace Church, Greater Grace World Outreach. That's what this show is affiliated with. And my name's Pastor Steve Andrelonis. With me, Pastor Ronaldo Brown. We've been in here a lot this week.
We're living on grace.
We're enjoying this. We like church life. Both of us enjoy church life. It's where will we be without it? That'd be a big question to ask. It's too horrifying to think about where we would be without church life. But we want to thank you for joining us. And don't forget to subscribe to the Grace Hour Show on YouTube, Apple, Google Podcast, Spotify, and more. And, we'd love for you to be a part of this program every day. So get a little reminder on your phone and to join us every day and, make it a regular part of your drive. You can do that now, right? Smartphone, plug it into the system of your car and listen and enjoy. Those kind of things are amazing. Technology is amazing. But today we're talking about, when we talk about the essence of church growth, we're talking about evangelism and why evangelism is an important element in church life and why pastors and leaders should do all that they can to encourage gospel witness. And what does that look like organizationally and, programmatically, which is, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater, Sure. A good program, a good system that gets people to share their faith is a benefit to a church and to every soul. And so we're going to cover a few questions today. We do have some phone lines. We will take your program, your phone call. We will take your phone call on this program if it's related to the topic. So 1-800-338-7060 is a phone number that you can use, toll-free number actually in the U.S. and Canada, and here locally and worldwide, 410-483-3700 is our local number. And of course, you can post your questions there on the various platforms that you're watching this on. And if we see the question on the screen here, we'll address it and give comment on it. But let's talk about it. Evangelism.
I think it's one of the hallmarks of a healthy church. When you join a church, when you come to a church, when you're considering choosing a church, you want a church that cares about the things that God cares about. A church that doesn't just care about you, but cares about what God cares about. Most of us, we actually kind of join churches for selfish reasons. We join a church for what it can do in my life. It can help me to grow. It can help me in my walk with God. But when you get beyond yourself, I want a church that has a vision not just for me, but beyond me. I want a church that has a vision for the world. I want a church that is lined up with God's priorities biblically, scripturally. And one of those priorities is evangelism. I mean, we're talking about a world now that's, what, almost 8 billion people?
Yeah, we're talking about at least that now.
And most likely, based upon different other religions, we're talking about close to 4.5 or 5 billion of those people are not born again. They don't have a relationship with God. They don't know who Jesus Christ is in a personal way. And statistically, on the face of the earth, every 3 seconds, someone dies on the face of the earth right now. So every 3 seconds, someone dies. So many of them are going to die and have never heard or responded to the gospel. So evangelism, soul winning, sharing your faith, they're all the same thing. I have received something from God, and I have a spiritual responsibility to share that with someone else. It's amazing how much we share with people that has no eternal value. We share recipes, we share directions, we share good places to send your kids, good places to get a oil change, good places to go car wash, good places to vacation, good places to find pottery, good places to find good pit beef, good places and good people, but we don't point out a good Savior. And evangelism is when I decide to prioritize in my interaction with people friend or non otherwise, I decide that I'm going to present the priority of God. That I think that's what a healthy church should be doing. I think if I'm part of a church that doesn't evangelize, that doesn't teach me to evangelize, that doesn't participate in evangelize, that doesn't organize evangelism, that doesn't preach about evangelism, that doesn't talk, I don't believe that church is healthy. Scripturally, it's not.
Yeah, they've got a, well, we would call it a blind spot.
Sure.
I mean, or just plain ignorance and just, what is it? It's just like how, well, I mean, I guess it comes down to, do you, like you said something very important there. Like, you know, we share all of these things. Yeah. We share all of these other elements. You got a good mechanic. You're telling people you should go to this guy. I have a good mechanic. I tell people I should go to this guy, you know, that kind of thing. But you're right. If you got a good God, do you believe that you have a good God? And do you believe enough in your heart that you should tell the world about that? There's like a really interesting kind of YouTube video. There's that magician, Penn and Teller, the one that talks. One of them doesn't talk. The one guy who does talk, whichever one it is, he's talking about how a Christian approached him after one of his shows and shared his faith.
Wow.
Now, this guy is an atheist, but he said, but the guy who's the atheist, the magician said, he said, if what this guy believes, if you believe it and you're not telling everybody about it, I think you have a problem. Because what he's believing with all of his heart and in a very sincere way, and he was like very positive about the way he shared it. He said, I didn't buy it. He said, he baited the hook well. I didn't swallow it. He said, but I'm thinking about it. And he said, if you believe the way this guy believes and you're not motivated to share that information, then, you know, it was very convicting to watch because, you know, you think about like how many people you meet. And so a healthy church that does not encourage people or motivate people, to evangelize, to share their faith, to be a witness for the gospel. That's a, you know, you're right. There's something about that church that's missing. There's something missing there, right?
Yeah. I think, is my Christianity a personal secret?
Yeah.
Or a public opportunity? I mean, it's amazing how much people, their relationship with God is, oh, that's private. It's amazing. There's two topics that are supposedly private, politics and God.
Yeah.
But we're very vocal about politics and very quiet about God. It's amazing. The internet is one of the great places where you can express your thoughts, your feelings, your opinions, your facts.
Such as they are.
With sarcastic, heavy sarcastic quotes, your
That's
facts.
Very good ones,
right.
Yeah.
So, but there's so much you have to say to so many people. I have this thing, people follow me. But you won't talk about God. Yet you say, I'm a Christian. You say that I have this relationship with God and it's private. Like God came to you and said, this is just me and you. And it dies right here. But whatever stays with me has no opportunity to live beyond me. It just dies right there. And I like what you said there. You said, do I believe? Do I really believe that God is the best thing going? Do I really believe that Jesus Christ is the center of my life? Do I really believe? Because what you really believe, number one, will change the way you live your life, but number two, will change your conversation. What you really believe in comes out in your conversations with people. In your casual, you hear people use these emphatic words like, I really believe, and this is what I think, and this is really important to me. When is Jesus Christ in the beginning of that conversation? He's not. You know, it becomes like Christianity is the thing that I do that I don't talk about. That I don't talk about. And a healthy church talks about it.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, private, like you said, like we've tried to take these things private, like your private, you know, your relationship with God, whatever deity you're worshiping is a private matter. This is like what the Western culture is trying to like impose.
It's hilarious.
It's hilarious, right?
Because let me ask you a question. I don't want to offend you.
Yeah.
But I'll say all these other things that are offensive.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like 15 different topics that are offensive, but you're okay to offend me this way. It's almost like, I don't want to offend you in that way. That's what you should say. I don't want to offend you on the God issue, but I'll offend you with color, race, sports teams, political party. Mm. I'll offend you in all those other areas, and I have no problem saying all those things to you right to your face. But when you get to God, oh, that's cool. Is that too far? I went too far when I went to God, but we touched every other part of your life in the most offensive way. This might be currently the most offensive and the most sensitive generation of our time.
Oh, absolutely. But,
and in both cases, God is too sensitive to talk about and too offensive to talk about. So he's off the table. No. I want a healthy church that doesn't offend anybody, right? Yeah. And that's also oversensitive. So of course there's no evangelism. Are you kidding me? Oh, we have a nice building. We come to church. We worship God in behind closed doors. We have COVID church almost behind closed doors. And you know, but other than that, now go back into the world and be quiet. Mm. Blend in.
That's it. So this is really like a healthy church that has a pulpit that is telling people about the Great Commission, which is, we know that this is a thing that Jesus said, go and make disciples of every nation. So this is one of the things Jesus instructed at the end of Matthew, beginning of Acts. These are things, and Jesus did not leave us without a message of hope there that, okay, I understand this is not going to be easy. It's very simple. Tell people about me. Mm-hmm. That's what you're supposed to do. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be difficult. You're going to be fearful, but I am going to send the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where, like, I think in a healthy church, you know, we could talk about, yes, it's good to have like a, you know, in our church, we have, you know, a scheduled time, Saturday mornings. We have a large group of people that go to various neighborhoods to share their faith, and a variety of leaders, variety of ways that that happens. Some are connected to Bible studies in the neighborhoods. Some just go to a market, pass out tracts, talk to people about it. But, you know, a healthy church will also say, okay, this is not a legalistic thing, you know, but the Holy Spirit will lead you to come and be a part of something like this. And that's the... that's the thing, is like a healthy church will have that built into their schedule. That's what we believe, that they will have that built into their schedule. Just like, you know, visitation. Someone comes to your church, it's still, you know, we still visit people and we still knock on their door and show up. People are surprised at that, but that's a healthy thing to do.
Let's borrow Pastor Siraji's word. I think it has to be intentional. I think it's just like when you have things in a family, when you have things in any kind of organization, what is intentional is what is connected to the identity of the organization. Yeah. So if the gospel is intentional in our schedule and in our pulpit, because it's intentional in the Bible, if it's intentional in the Bible, it should be intentional in the pulpit. If it's intentional in the pulpit, it should be intentional in the people. And if it's intentional, it's directly addressed and connected to our identity. Every ministry in the church at its core is directly or indirectly connected to the gospel. Every ministry. So that's an intention. Like, you guys schedule evangelism as a group corporately. Yes, that's not accidental. That's intentional. You guys pray. Yes, that's intentional. That's not an accident. That's like, oh, by the way, we made a mistake. We're bored. Let's pray. No, oh, by the way, you know what? We have nothing to fill the schedule with. Let's go soul winning. No, it's intentional. And I think if it's not intentional, it's not habitual.
Yeah,
the things in your life that are intentional become habitual. Like, if it's not intentional, then you kind of, you can, it might happen, but then it might not happen. There's no accountability. With intention, there's accountability. With intention, there's repetition. With intention, there's clarity. Okay, you guys are about that. And God makes it clear for the church, a spiritually healthy church in that regard, is evangelical. What's amazing is that, some churches, some people, some Christians, or even G. Campbell Morgan said this: to call a man an evangelical who is not evangelistic is an utter contradiction.
Okay, that's,
I'll say that
there
again.
You go.
To call a man evangelical who is not evangelistic is an utter contradiction. Change your name. Just change your name. G.K. Momorgan didn't get it wrong. I wrote down some spicy quotes on evangelism. That's one of them.
That's cool. That's an awesome one.
Another one is Charles Spurgeon said, every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. The wife of the founder of the Salvation Army said this, if we are to better the future, we must disturb the present. We need to use the gospel. We've been taught, and we've taught, that the believer has five calls, five major calls. The first call is to get saved, okay? The second call is to a local assembly and a pastor. The third call is to be a disciple, not just get in the church, but grow in the church. Number four is to be reproductive in the church, to make disciples. And number five, the fifth call, is to share what you've received, to share the gospel, evangelical. And that's the Great Commission. Hudson Taylor said that is not an option to be considered. Hudson Taylor said that is a command to be obeyed. It's a mandate. It's vital. It's intentional. Everything that God said was a mandate for the church. Holiness, righteousness, those things are a mandate. They're not like, well, if it happens, great. We hope it happens, but we don't know. This is the gospel. This is what happened to us. So when I'm in a church, I am part of the health of the church. So I'm responsible for that intention. We have outreaches and different things that we do because as a church, Greater Grace is intentional, as any healthy church would be, intentional about evangelism. Our leaders evangelize. Our people evangelize corporately and privately. We share our faith with people. And there's a variety of ways to do that. But I think what's a healthy church? It has biblical intentions in its schedule and in its mindset and in its mission. It's intentional.
Yeah, the choice that we make. So, yeah, one of the questions that are posed to us here in the preparation for this program, we're talking about this, is the average church member, which is that means, like, I guess maybe, who's the average church member? The person who's not employed by the church? I mean, is every church member... is every church member called to evangelize and to be a witness? And the question and the answer, I think you've given the answer already. If you are evangelical but not evangelistic, it's a contradiction in terms.
Yes.
And we have this like sort of, spiritual, I'm spiritually minded, mm-hmm. but I'm not pushing it on anybody. But what does that mean? What does that mean? Okay, so you're spiritually minded, but what are you spiritually minded about? If we have good news to share, we should be, like you said, we should have an intent in our mind. We should choose to share it. And again, this may be totally against your personality type,
yes.
but there are ways to do it. There are ways to choose to do it. And the Holy Spirit is the active element in any salvation. Because we tend to take the burden on ourselves.
Sure.
And I've been with people like that. You mm-hmm. have probably too.
Oh, yeah.
You've been with people on evangelism who are like very, and they are just, they are driving, the four spiritual laws. They are pushing them people down the Roman road.
Oh, yeah.
And then if they don't get this, if they don't close the deal, it's almost like a sales pitch.
A sales call. Yeah.
Which,
yeah, closer.
And if they don't close it, they get very disappointed.
Sure.
But, I think that's if you are a church member, you've never shared your faith with somebody, mm-hmm. Ask the Holy Spirit to create the opportunity. That would be my first advice to you.
Sure.
And it might be someone in your own family, and you'd be surprised at, or, I stopped the other night at a fast food restaurant because I was hungry. And there I'm sitting there with a couple of older guys who are asking me questions. And it just happened. That just happened. Was I available to it? Did I really want to? Did I plan that? That wasn't intentional. I intended to get a cheeseburger. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I met a guy there with another guy. Mm-hmm. And the conversation happened. And it was a moment to talk about the truth and to share the gospel. Did we get to a point where he prayed with me? No, it didn't happen that way. But, those moments of evangelism. So, yes, everyone in a local church that is biblically centered at some point should hear that call, answer that call,
yes,
and be a part of that program, that commission that Christ gave to his disciples, of which we are the descendants.
And isn't that the life of God? Isn't that spiritual life, Galatians chapter 5, 15 and 16, walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit? Again, a church that says they're motivated by the love of God and is filled with the Holy Spirit, it's impossible to have that and not be concerned for the lost. Mm-hmm. Scripturally, it's impossible for a believer to say that I'm motivated by the love of God and I'm led by the Holy Spirit, but I'm never, the Holy Spirit in me never leads me to open my mouth about the gospel. I find that scripturally hard to believe. I think it's this way. I like what you said there. There's the intentional and there's the unintentional, and both are part of the life of God. Mm-hmm. There's the intentional, like I plan to go to church. There's purpose, and that's intentional, okay? The Spirit doesn't have to motivate me for that. I'm planning in my life to be in church, okay? So I'm intentionally going to plan that. But then there's other times unintentionally that I may go by the church for different other reasons, and unintentionally I've ended up there. But that doesn't change the intention. That's in addition to the attention, it's unintentional. Intentional means, okay, God, this week, help me share my faith with people. I'm planning to do that this week. I want to share my faith with someone. Because ask most people, when's the last time you had a spiritual conversation with anybody? They're going to probably tell you, when I was in church, when I was talking to another Christian. So all of my Christian conversation is for Christians. I've got a very narrow vacuum of where I talk about God, in my house or in my church. But God says our conversations are for the world. We have a message to the world. We have the message of the gospel. We have the motivation of the gospel, the love of God. We have the Spirit of the gospel, the Holy Spirit. So why would the Holy Spirit fill you and not lead you to share your faith? And I know it's scary, particularly to talk to a friend or even to talk to a stranger. It's uncomfortable because it's not part of our schedule. It's not part of our intentional routine. My intentional routine is I go to work, I go home, I go here. We have these systems of life. And spiritually speaking, God has to interrupt my life. There is a measure of mechanical, and that's the intentional. Like for a lot of people, remember when you went to church once a week? Maybe you don't because it's been a while. But or I remember guys, you go to church more than once a week. What's wrong with you? Because that's not their intention. That's not their rhythm. But the intention is first, it's mechanical. That's intentional. But what it does is creates a habit where when the intentional, unintentional happens, where it's mystical. That comes in where I'm in different places and God opens up opportunities to speak to people that I'm not even thinking about. But when I'm walking with God, where can the Spirit of God take me? Every person's an opportunity. I like the fact that we have a schedule where we go evangelizing together corporately. We're intentional, so when the church has the intention for evangelism, it builds in spiritual habits that we also can be intentional in a personal way. So first, it happens corporately in many people's lives, just like prayer and worship happened corporately, and then it became personal. Evangelism can be the same way. Even giving, it's a corporate thing that becomes personal, and it goes beyond the walls of the church. God forbid that my spiritual life begins and ends inside the church. But yeah, I think an average believer can be and should be involved on some kind of a regular basis. I don't think it's shocking that God would ask his people to talk about him to other people. I think that's part of your spiritual growth. And you're not qualified because you've memorized the Bible, but basically you have the Holy Spirit, number one, and you can share your faith with people. You can share your testimony, number two. Like Paul did that. When Paul began to give, he preached four major messages in the book of Acts. When he got up to speak, the first thing Paul said was, "This is who I was. And I was just like you." Then Paul says, "Something happened to me. Someone came in my life and turned my life upside down. And what that person, God, did for me, Jesus Christ, he can do for you." That's the gospel without him quoting half the Bible, though he did use the Bible. But if I'm talking to someone that doesn't know the Bible, that's attractive to me.
That's right.
Because I'm looking at your life and the first thing I'm saying is something's different. That's what Penn and Teller saw. Penn saw, he saw the difference of God in someone's life. Yeah. Why are you happy? Why are you different? Why aren't you angry about that? How can you forgive? What's so different about your life? Yeah. I want that. I want to know where you got it from first. I want to know, can I? Sure you can. Let's talk about
it. That was good what you said there. I think when we look at when we're talking about, encouraging people to do this some way, somehow, and we look in the Bible, we get examples. Like you said, Paul, the story of how Christ came to him is a very magnificent story.
Yes.
But it was a story that he used frequently to declare who he was in the midst of when he's on trial, he's in the midst of all these government leaders and the highest elite people in the city come to hear him. But then the woman at the well, she tells everyone in her town after that, Jesus just told me everything that I did.
Yes.
And so we see that these are the examples. If you have had this experience with Christ, and this is a very real experience with him, then, you know, this may be the whole key to your intention to share what you have, like the value, you know, how much value do you put on it? Because yes, time goes on. And it's like anything, we can become familiar, we can become casual, we can become about church attendance, about Bible reading, about just generally relating to God when, you know, the first experience is maybe explosive. For some people, it's explosive. Light shines from the sky for Paul.
Yes.
For the woman at the well, it was like very, you know, yeah, I'm coming to get water and Jesus is talking about my relationship issues. And how does he know it? Yeah. It's like, so it's like, you know, where you are and who you are is going to guide the way that you share. You don't have to become this kind of person.
Yes.
You just have to be who you are. But the, you know, the, when you have a healthy church life, when you have an understanding of your value as Christ, as one saved and rescued from hell, when you have that in you, then, you know, if you dwell upon that, it seems to me that that's going to come out of you. Like, you know, instead, so, but, you know, like the plan and the purposing and all of that is very important. You're listening to the Grace Hour Show. We're coming to you live from Baltimore. Pastor Ronaldo Brown. I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis, and we are talking about evangelism, and it's important to church life and to all believers.
Yes.
So if you'd like to call us, you can do that, 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700. Yeah, there's a couple of comments here saying that it's the Great Commission, intentional, being spiritually minded. One comment here, struggling in an area and I go out and I start witnessing and sometimes those cares go away. All of this, is it therapeutic? Can it be therapeutic to be a soul winner?
I think it takes you back to your beginning.
Yeah.
I think number one, when you go soul winning, it takes you back to how it all started. Because sometimes you get so fast and so sophisticated in your Christianity. Mm. You're trying to run 15 yards down the road and God said, let's go back. Let's make it simple. As you have received Christ, so walk ye in him. Colossians 2:6. Let's just get back. And number two, really, when you go soul winning, it connects you to people in a very spiritual way. You find out, number one, that your life is not as bad as you thought it was. Your struggles aren't as bad when you talk to someone else. And you also find out that in ministering to someone else, you're also ministering to yourself. The Holy Spirit has a personal ministry to you while you're representing Christ. I think that's so good to be able to get out and minister and get away from yourself, get outside of you, get out of your comfort zone, break your bonds of your friends and your, and get out beyond. That's why I like confrontational evangelism, but there's many kinds of evangelism.
Well, let's take that word. Okay. I think we take that word as like a warrior word,
yeah,
but really it's like, it's more of a presentation word.
Yes.
When we confront people, we are like really just bringing front and center the truth. We aren't like, you know, you hear that word confrontational and you power up and you think about, I got to get my armor on, all that kind of stuff. But really, we're just talking about simple presentation.
Yeah. It's like, I would have said it this way. You could say conversational evangelism. That may be the softer word.
Well, that may be softer. I still think confrontational is good because we are, it is, you know, we are in the kingdom of darkness and we are bringing light to that. So that's true. But like, let's think about it.
Change what the word means. Yeah, I agree with you.
Meekly giving somebody a track is confrontational.
That's true.
And some people may dismiss it, but we know people who have taken tracks, crumpled them up, opened them up, and let the witness lead them to Christ. So, so let's redeem the word. Let's take the word confrontational, say good word.
Yeah.
And, you know, just putting the gospel in front of somebody is a confrontation.
There it is. Then everything's confrontational at that point. So like confrontational love, if you use it the right way.
Yes.
But I want to say this, let's not believe that evangelism is a professional job done by a few trained people. Many churches have their little crew. That's our evangelism team. But no one else evangelizes but the team that we've been trained and prepared and ready, and they've got all the things. But really, it's about one author said there's an unrelenting responsibility of every person who belongs to Jesus Christ. We all, because we have the gospel, because we have the Holy Spirit, we're all equipped to share the gospel with people. And God asks us to. It's not like he says, well, it's a good idea. So I think you can encourage yourself by participating with people who evangelize. You say, okay, it's like anything else. I want to know how to pray. You get around people who pray and learn about prayer. I think it's Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. It says, he who seeks to be wise puts himself with wise men. But a companion of fools is destroyed. So get around people that are wise about evangelism, those who are experienced in it. I don't know where to go. Well, come corporately, number one. In the group, you'll feel secure and you'll also observe a lot and learn a lot. And if you don't know what to say, just come with the group and pray. But go out, be involved, pray. I'm remembering a family that came out to Richmond 31 last July. Four generations. I saw a grandmother, a mother, a daughter, and a child evangelizing, going door to door. I was so blessed in Richmond. It was shocking to me. It's something you can do with your family. It's a great way to introduce your children into ministry. Take them with you door knocking. Take them with you on evangelism. It's a great way when you're spending time with a friend to bring up the gospel to, say, a waiter or a server or someone you're running into, or to give out a track or to share. It's a great way to connect and give people Christ. Be a part of a corporate situation. Have God teach you. Study the verses in the Bible on evangelism. Pray that God would motivate your heart to be involved in evangelism. Don't leave this matter to the preacher. Most folks come to church, that's Pastor Schaller's job. He's going to win the loss, and I'm going to rah, rah, rah. That's his job and my job, too.
Yeah, wow. Just a couple of things that I've said here. A question was asked by Brian here. If there's no evangelism in a church, would that church be incomplete? I would say, there's an obedience element that's missing there.
I would say incomplete in its expression.
There you go.
Don't forget, the church is the church. But if it's like a church that doesn't have, that doesn't use the Bible, is incomplete in its expression.
There you go.
Because the Holy Spirit has got to, how would you not have a heart for the lost?
That's true. And again, like we're talking like encouragement, how could we encourage somebody to be a part? Like you've made some great points there, like walk with the wise. He who walks with the wise is wise. He who wins souls is wise. That's another part there.
Yes.
So being a part of this soul thing is a way, a soul winning, for lack of a better word, program, process, being a part of something like that, choosing to be a part of that is a wise thing to do. It's healthy. It's healthy for your church. And it's healthy for you spiritually and falling in love with Jesus. If you are really in love with Jesus, don't you want to tell people about him? You know, like, you know, your daughters, I've watched you watch your daughter play basketball, and you watch your daughter play basketball the way that I watch my son play basketball.
Yes.
My son's now 36. Is he almost 36?
Wow.
And your daughter is not 36, but you're watching her play, and it's like, it's a part of this. And, wise church people will enjoy your watching you and helping you grow in that kind of activity.
Yes.
And so that's the best way. Find the people. And Jesus did not send out the disciples. He sent them out two by two in that one situation. He understood the teamwork involved, and he understood the variety of personalities, but he never diminished any of that. And cultivating this, developing like a personal lifestyle of evangelism. Like that's like, you know, that's a big statement to say, but it is like, you know,
your purpose. I mean,
yeah,
it's like saying, it's amazing how much we purpose in our personal walk with God, in our private life. We use a different word, privately. I want to pray 5 minutes a day. I want to grow in that. Okay. Yeah. We can have objectives that are spiritual. We can be purposeful. And you can't be purposeful unless you have an intention behind the purpose. So why can't I say, okay, God, will you give me one person this week to share my faith with? I'm not aiming high. I'm aiming for one. Will you put me in a circumstance, God, where I've got to depend on you and I open my mouth, even say something, anything, God, where I initiate or bring someone to me, God. I can pray that prayer and God can answer that prayer. I want to give you another one of my spicy quotes. Ready?
All right.
Lee Strobel, he said this, I've seen far too many Christians who are more than willing to travel halfway around the world to volunteer for a week in an orphanage, but cannot bring themselves to take the personal risk of sharing Jesus with a coworker who sits day by day next to them in a cubicle. Come on, Lee.
Wow. Yeah, that's, you know, I mean, it's becoming more and more like, as you know, as certain elements of social dynamics, you know, cultural dynamics right now enter your office, this becomes like, you know, more and more like a warfare kind of situation.
Yes.
In terms
uncomfortable.
Of it's uncomfortable, and like just having like a Bible on your desk, you know, would that be permissible? I worked at the Baltimore Sun. I my nickname was Bible Steve. I studied for ordination with a Bible and a theology book on my desk. And
wow.
I never, you know, and I was working with people who live in these alternative lifestyles that are pushed right now. And, you know, did I make them uncomfortable? It seemed like they were curious. The majority of them were curious. Some of them could care less about who I was, live and let live. And, but I mean, this is, you know, this may be, you know, like I said, my intent was to, you know, be who I was. And I got a nickname. There was five Steves in the department, and I got a nickname, Bible Steve. There was Polish Steve. There was one guy, Jewish Steve. And then there was another guy that they called Evil Steve.
Wow.
So, I mean, that was like,
I'll take Bible Steve, I'll be Evil Steve any day. But I think there is a place in my life where I can be sensitive to the Spirit. And I can be intentional and share my faith.
Yeah. And then cultivate it.
I think in your life, what you feed will grow.
There you go.
What you feed will grow. If this is important to me, and like people say to me all the time, God is good. Is he good enough to talk about? Is he good enough to talk about?
Yeah.
Or is he just good? Is he good? He's good enough to hide. He's good enough in dark corners in my house to keep. He's good enough to keep in my personal life. But is he good enough to talk about? Because there's a lot of stuff in life that we think is good enough to talk about. And God said, it's just idle words.
Yeah.
It's idle words. It has no eternal value. We can't be a church with closed doors on a hill and we just sit and inside the building, we just worship God. And then the world goes to hell.
Yeah.
There has to be a move of compassion beyond the open doors of a church and into the world. So send I you.
Yeah.
So send I you.
So big question here. All right, so I'm in a church,
okay,
and you know, the pastor does not evangelize. It's like he never talks about it.
Okay.
Like that's not our experience. We've been in churches that are even the church that I was born again in, you know, Middle River Assembly of God, that was an evangelistic church, and every sermon ended with an invitation.
Okay,
and that's how. You know, I sat through several months of invitations before one night it dawned on me that I could be left behind, and it's all. So I went forward, but you know, but the intentional about the invitation.
Yes.
But you know, I guess like if you one, you got to ask. I'm going to say, are you called to that church? That's if God called you to that church. That's one thing. You know, you pray for your pastor.
Sure.
You know, that kind of thing. You may need to. Send a note to your pastor. Like, why do we never hear about it? You know, it's a big question.
I would say the first question, when you ask that question, what do I do if my pastor doesn't evangelize, is how do you know he doesn't?
There you go. That's all right. Okay.
I want to give the man of God the benefit of the doubt. Number two. Okay. Then I might ask a different question and say, he never preaches about it. then I would go to him and I would say, Pastor, I haven't heard a message on evangelism in a long time, and I'd love to learn. And maybe you could pray to God and maybe have a leading from God to teach us as a congregation about evangelism. Come in and mention it that way. Number three, I would also pray for that man of God because he probably needs your prayers more than ever. Number four, I would ask the pastor, is it okay, Pastor, if there's not a group that grows out, ask for permission to lead a group and go out. Be a starter. Be an innovator. Lead a group. Go soul winning. And then I'd also, number five, I might even go to him alone and say, Pastor, I want to learn evangelism. Can I go with you? Can I go with you?
So all of those are very scary, you know, could be very scary to some people. Yes. Like that's very, you know,
but if you're bold enough to think about it, this is my thought. If you're bold enough to think about how come we don't go evangelism, then you have to be bold enough to ask.
There you go.
Yeah. Because you can't sit back and judge the church and judge the man of God in online and in your Instagram and in your Twitter and in all those things and judge the man of God and say nothing.
Yeah.
You can't be that guy.
Well, I guess that's the big thing is like, you know, I see a splinter, but I got a big log in my own eye. It's like, you know, I guess the first question, am I evangelizing as a practice myself?
Yes.
First. And like you said, I like what you said, like, how do you know that he doesn't?
That's like, the first thing he says.
How do you know that he doesn't? I mean, if you're not hearing messages about it, then, I mean, that's a point. If you are, you know, a member, we have a suggestion box near our welcome center that you can anonymously say, hey, I haven't heard a message on this in a long time. And then, you know, it'll get to the senior pastor and he'll, you know, that's one way.
You could also ask him and say, in our church schedule, is there any time that we go together?
Yeah.
I would look at the pulpit.
Yeah.
And I look at the schedule. What did we say earlier at the beginning? A church a healthy church encourages evangelism because they schedule it. They don't just say, hey, however you want to do it, just go. No, it's structure. We go.
It's like your oil change.
Yes.
I mean, we just, you know, we'll make a metaphor, you know, like, you know, you do follow the, you know, if you don't follow the owner's manual about oil changes, then at some point you're going to be on the side of I-95 calling a tow truck.
That's
it's like, that's the kind of thing. It's like, so, you know, this is like a personal practice and, you know, I guess the point to sort of conclude today is like, we're not trying to be legalistic about it. We're not saying like, I know people, you know, I know people, you know, you have this group of people that comes to your door, with their magazines and stuff like that, asking you about, you know, to get awake.
Oh, wow.
They're asking you to get awake and they're going door to door, in order to build up sort of a status in the future for their future reward. And we're not talking about that kind of evangelism. We're talking about really being in love with God and telling people the truth about him.
Door to door, your friends, your family. David Jeremiah said this. He said, friendships are the most fertile soil for evangelism because they know that you care about them. And in that relationship of love and trust, there's something there that's available, and that's the opportunity to share something else. Friendship, we used to call it frangelism growing up, friends, relatives, associates, neighbors, and colleagues. I know it sounds corny and hokey, but what that means is that in every area of my life, there are unsaved people that God puts in my path. And he's there. I'm there for a reason. 2 Corinthians 5:20, I'm an ambassador of Christ. My life is an event, but my mouth is too. The number one way you break people down and build them up is with your mouth. Mm. Is with your mouth.
Wow.
So the gospel is a great way to share your faith. And I'm not talking about badgering people, intimidating people, arguing. I'm just saying simply sharing Christ. That could be two sentences. That could be a half an hour. But I guarantee you, most folks in a conversation that's not adversarial will listen, particularly if you have some kind of connection with them already. And they might not listen the first time or the second time or the third time, but when you share your faith, you know, and if you're listening to us today,
that's true.
On the program, or we're talking about evangelism, maybe you're hearing this show randomly, or you're hearing this show and maybe you don't have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, we would like to encourage you today to consider putting your faith and your trust in the person of Jesus Christ, to trust God, to believe on Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, to make that choice. He came, he lived, he died for you, that you would have the opportunity to know God, to know forgiveness, to know the love of God. And everything we do here on this radio program is for the gospel's sake, for the lost and the found, but for the lost, that people would know Christ. So if you've made that choice, if you haven't made that choice, make it today. Talk to God directly today. Talk to him. And praise God, if you have made that choice, you can rehearse that in your heart. That is your greatest story, how Jesus came and changed your life. And if you made that choice, write into us and let us know. We can pray for you. We can encourage you. Whatever we can do to help you in this new decision, because this is the greatest decision of your life. You are now connected to God because of your choice by faith and the work of the cross.
Wow, that's a great way to end this week on church life. And speaking of church life, well, a couple of things. First of all, let's talk about if you just became born again, you should get involved in a thriving, biblical-centered local assembly. We are one, Greater Grace Church, at 6025 Moravia Park Drive in Baltimore. The zip code here is 21214. And our service times this Sunday will be 9 and 11 in the morning, 6:30 in the evening. We also have a Wednesday meeting at 7 p.m. You're invited. You don't have to be a member. Come on in the doors. All are welcome. And if you want a place where you can learn evangelism, here at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, tomorrow morning, show up between 9:30 and 10, and we'll hook you up with some wise people who know how to witness.
Amen.
So that's right here at Fellowship Hall, our Fellowship Hall at one corner of the campus by the gym. Come tomorrow, and we'll pair you up with someone to go into the neighborhood. Tell us you heard us on the Grace Hour and you want to evangelize. All right, remember, you can pick up the show at Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, iHeartRadio, Audible, and Stitcher. And gracehour.org is also an archive place where you can listen to these shows in their entirety. For Pastor Ronaldo Brown, I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis. Have a great Friday and a great weekend. God bless you.